I'm Allison Keyes, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is away. Coming up, a new study says African-American women with advanced degrees are not flocking to the altar. But first, Labor Day will probably be President Obama's last break in a long while. Next week, the House and Senate return from recess, and politics jumps into high gear. The president has two big speeches coming, the first to school kids about the importance of education. That's Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, he'll address a joint session of Congress about health care. Joining us to talk about next week is Wall Street Journal reporter Corey Dade and Raihan Salam. He is a fellow at the New America Foundation and co-author of Grand New Party, How Republicans Can Win the Working Class and Save the American Dream. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi there. Nice to be here.
Let's start up with the dust-up surrounding the president's address to school kids. Florida Republican Chair Jim Greer said, as the father of four children, I'm absolutely appalled that taxpayer dollars are being used to spread President Obama's socialist ideology. Raihan, socialist? Really?
I think that this is a little overblown. At the same time, I think that generally speaking, when you have this kind of a message, you usually use the First Lady, you usually use someone else. For example, you know, in the 80s, you had Nancy Reagan's Just Say No campaign. And I wonder if Michelle Obama might have been a better choice for this kind of a message.
Corey, what do you think?
Well, I think he's certainly not the first president to address school children. Ronald Reagan did it. George H.W. Bush did it. And so I think that the president and his administration realize that he is his own best asset. And so I think that him bringing the message is infinitely going to be more potentially powerful than the First Lady or any of his surrogates.
Corey, do you think all of the controversy around this is just a little hyperventilating? I mean, it's the president. He's talking to kids. How bad can this be?
Of course it's hyperventilating, but that's the use and that's the value add that the Republicans bring. They are supposed to bring a counterintuitive viewpoint. And I think that, you know, no matter what, you're going to get that blowback. I think it goes a little bit too far when they start invoking the term socialism and questioning whether or not he's trying to indoctrinate young children into Obama's policies.
Raihan, is that a serious concern for conservative parents that there might be indoctrination?
I think that there's just a lot of anxiety, a lot of kind of unformed anxiety that is some of it's responsive to actual policies. A lot of it's just responsive to a sense that we, you know, the shape of the world seems so confusing. So I think that, you know, it might be true that Obama had very good intentions. In fact, I'm sure that he does. He does connect with young folks in a very powerful way, even now. But I think at the same time that it would have made sense for them to be sensitive to the fact that there is going to be this kind of backlash given the political climate. And maybe it would have made sense to kind of hold off on this for now, just as a political communication strategy.
In the past, Raihan, the Obama campaign has been famously great at staying focused and on message. What do you think of their inability to anticipate the drama around this speech?
Well, it's not obvious to me that they didn't anticipate the drama around this speech. For example, it's possible that provoking a response that some of their supporters will see as extreme is actually a very shrewd thing to do. I don't think that that's necessarily what they have in mind, but I do think that these guys are a lot cleverer than some of their critics, and I think that again, it's by no means obvious to me that they didn't anticipate there was going to be this kind of a reaction.
Corey, just how important is next week for the president?
Well, with his health care speech, it is probably going to be the most important speech he's given to date in his presidency. This is his time to step up and lay out his plan for health care reform. The irony here to me is that the burden now is on the president to prove reform is even necessary and worth the effort, while the Republicans aren't being held to the same standard, and while the public agrees generally that some form of health reform is necessary. And so therein lies the success of the Republicans at this point, score one for them, using their messaging to brand Obama as a socialist trying to socialize Medicare or trying to insist that government is trying to get its hands into health care when in reality, of course, government is already in health care through Medicare. So I think that through the Republican opposition, they have put Obama on the defensive. But I think it's a position that Obama expected to be in.
Corey, do you think during this address, the joint address to Congress, that he's going to be able to persuade any of the lawmakers to change their stance on health care? I mean, that's assuming that anybody's still on the fence.
Right. That is a big assumption. But I think what we're looking at is not so much that he'll directly change the minds of any lawmakers. It's more a certain amount of believability that is kind of making an emotional, sort of authentic argument for why reform is needed, and that plays to his oratory skills. then he'll lay out his principles without getting too detailed. At least we expect so. And I think the most important aspect of that will be him explaining how important a public option actually is for him. Then he'll move through and probably go after sort of knocking down a lot of the Republican criticisms. And I think at the end of the day, it's a position that the administration and the president expected to be in that he did not want to make the mistake that Bill Clinton made in being assertive and putting out his plan ahead of time, early, and leading this charge, because that gives the Republicans a target to shoot down. And so instead, he stepped back and let Congress hash out the issues on both sides, and so that became a series of trial balloons that now have been vetted through the public. And so when he gives his speech next week, I think the goal on his part and the administration's part is to come out with something that appears to be sort of the rational compromise between all the different but most important aspects of what reform needs to be.
If you're just joining us, I'm Allison Keyes, and you're listening to Tell Me More on NPR News. We're talking about the big political week ahead with Raihan Salam of New America Foundation and Wall Street Journal reporter Corey Dade. Raihan, let me ask you about the joint address. Do you think that there is a chance that he will persuade any Republicans to go his way on this?
I think it's unlikely. I think that they're really concerned about Olympia Snowe and perhaps a handful of other Republican senators. But I actually just want to say that I disagree gently with Corey's characterization of recent history. I think that when you're looking at the last 3 months, you've seen a really sharp decrease in support for President Obama's health care position. And I think that the Republican opposition is only a small part of this. If you're looking at the Republican Party leadership, they're responding to what they're seeing in the public. And part of what they're seeing in the public is not just coming from the right, but also coming from the left. For example, if you're looking at labor unions, they have a lot of anxiety about the prospect of undermining employer-provided health care. I personally believe that employer-provided health care is a bad thing. I think that we need a much bigger, more thoroughgoing reform, and I have a lot of sympathy with what folks in the Obama administration are trying to do. At the same time, I think that there's a real sense that the Obama administration, in making their political pitch, tried to be all things to all people. They say this explicitly: you will not lose what you have if you like it. Yet there are a lot of folks within the administration who recognize that actually the status quo is actually not sustainable. And as you start moving pieces around, you are going to see people's healthcare arrangements change. So I think that it's that grassroots anxiety that folks in the Republican leadership then responded to. If you're looking at the Republicans in February, they were more inclined to make an argument to the effect of, you know, we agree with President Obama. It's the Democrats in Congress we disagree with. We want to be constructive. But then they saw this level of anger and rage. And you could have the Republicans in Congress just ignore it and then just try to collaborate with the Democrats and kind of cut out that part of the public that is nervous and anxious. But I think that that's not going to be a successful political strategy for them. So I think that to some extent, they feel as though they're being tugged by their base, and also, again, by these folks across the spectrum who don't think of themselves as hardcore conservatives, who do have these anxieties. So it's a much more confusing, swirling picture that they're responding to.
Raihan, speaking of a nervous and anxious public, there's a Pew study that came out this week that finds that the public support of Congress is at its lowest point in 24 years. Is it all about the health care, or are there other reasons?
I think there are other reasons. For example, if you're looking at the size of the stimulus package, $787 billion, I think that there actually are good reasons to believe that the stimulus package is working in some narrow sense of ginning up economic growth and employment numbers relative to where they would be in its absence. Unfortunately, as a lot of folks on the left have pointed out, it's actually very difficult to demonstrate that is true. So what the public hears are enormous sums of money being sloshed around that threaten larger deficits and higher taxes over a longer period of time. And again, that's creating a lot of nervousness and a sense that the Democrats are not, in fact, much more competent than the Republicans were before them, fairly or unfairly.
Corey, let me ask you quickly. It looks like the economy is improving some. Are people going to forgive all this if the recession ends soon, as popularity will improve?
Well, Allison, even when the economy was doing well and was strong, the public opinion of Congress was still fairly low. I think as long as you have a body that is inherently political, that is about the business of talking points and political crossfire, as it were, as almost sport, you are going to turn off the public. It's kind of the effect of watching the sausage get made. I think as far as the economy goes, we're not going to see this economy strengthen in a way that starts hitting everyday folks, mom and pops, folks in the neighborhoods as quickly as the national numbers would suggest. The key indicator will be unemployment. From state to state, unemployment levels are continuing to rise, and they're continuing, if they're not rising, to stay fairly higher at record numbers. And so as the economy improves, local employers and companies are going to be conservative and be careful and wait about hiring more, about expanding and reinvesting into their business. And so I think on the job market level, that'll be the true test of whether or not the economy has come back. And I think once it does, the boon for the Congress as far as public opinion won't be fairly strong.
Reihan, just want to ask one more question of you. How much do you think this speech is really going to affect public opinion? People have been complaining a lot that they're not hearing enough details from him. If there are not more details this time around, how does that affect his response?
Very hard to tell. I think that Obama is an incredibly gifted politician, and I think that there's a sense that he's lost some of his momentum, so perhaps this could be an opportunity for him to refocus and reengage with the public. The concern is that if there's nothing really new about the strategy, about how he's framing the broad issues, then he's taking another bite at the apple without making any real change in the dynamic. It could be that there's going to be some level of exhaustion about this. A number of conservative commentators have pointed out that Jimmy Carter gave four of these addresses during his presidency, and none of them really changed the political dynamic in his favor. So one hopes that isn't going to be the outcome, but it certainly could be.
We are out of time, gentlemen. That was Reihan Salaam, a fellow at the New America Foundation who joined us in our studios in Washington, D.C., and Wall Street Journal reporter Corey Dade, who joined us from Atlanta. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.